Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is October 18th, 2023. We are here to talk AEW Dynamite. We're here to talk Sting. He has announced when he's retiring. We got all kinds of news for you. We got Alex Pawlowski here. Alex, how you doing?
Doing all right. The fam is doing fall stuff pretty much every day now. There's some kind of Halloween thing, a hayride, a haunted walking tour or something. We can't stop.
It's fall. It's time to party. My God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready. I'm ready for the fall season, Alex.
I'm ready for the fall season.
I was not ready for Sting's retirement. Does it have you in the feels?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it does. I here's the thing. I thought that after the Buckle Bomb in WWE, we'd never see him wrestle again anyway. So everything that we've gotten in AEW has been just gravy. So
it's been one of those situations, and I've mentioned this numerous times, that I will never take being able to see Sting perform for granted again.
Yeah.
I will never do that, especially, you know, that WWE run left a lot to be desired, but man, there's so much to get into, and I'm really excited to talk about it. Get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate it. Darren Walker says, Sean, any news where AR Fox is gone? Listen, he had that one highlighted match on Dynamite after he was effectively removed from the Mogul Embassy affiliates. And other than that, I think he also had the Tony Nese match too, I believe.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been used, and they were not happy that he was not forthright about the visa situation or status. So
yeah.
And unfortunately that's where they're at. But guys, as a reminder, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate that. We also had the hump today, joined by Matt Cardona. So yeah. We answered questions from him. That's a good time as well. But what did you think of Dynamite in totality tonight?
I thought there was a lot of really good stuff on it. I'm very excited about multiple avenues surrounding the top title in the company. Seems like there's no shortage of possible challengers. Everybody wants a piece of MJF. This is good. It feels like what they're doing over on Raw with Gunther, where there's all these suitors who want a piece of that title. And it's always nice when the prizes are sought after by as many people as possible, because it makes the prizes seem better.
Yeah. I like that. And you're building a number of people. You're building enough people to where it's not just, okay, oh, we need somebody, better get them a win type of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're starting to see some familiar faces pop back up. Like tonight, it's felt like a 2019 Dynamite. You had Emi Sakura popping up and Lance Archer popping up. Yeah. Kenny Omega factored into the main event level scene as well that we're going to talk about. But Jay White defeated Penta. Cardblade did not do his job and catch Penta on that opening
unsafe
dive.
Worker.
Gross. Gross. Tom LaValle says Jay White still has the triple B. Now Cardblade has the triple C, the cardboard cutout championship.
Yeah.
Now book Yoshihiko versus Cardblade. I remember
you coward.
I remember back in the day in the WWF Attitude game, they had head in the game, and it was just, it was hands, a feet, and a head on that wretched ass game.
Yes.
Man, Penta has gotten himself into great shape. Jay White always stays in great shape, but this was good stuff. And Penta is without Phoenix for a while. FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, best $54 a year in the business, reported last week that one of the reasons for the frequent international title changes is Phoenix wasn't supposed to win it to begin with, and he can't keep it because he's got visa issues. That's a bummer. Yeah.
That is a bummer. I don't pretend to understand the ins and outs of the immigration and work visa situation, but it does feel odd that they just can't figure out a way to get this guy to be able to work in the country where he works. You know, like that just feels like I don't understand how it works like that. What I do understand is that Penta and Jay White can chop each other for 100 hours, and I'll watch every second of it. Because that was brutal and entertaining as hell. Chop exchanges, they're hit or miss. They're mostly hit for me. This one was a home run. Just the way Jay White reacted to being chopped, it was great. This was a really great match. Penta pulled out some move like a backward spinning Death Valley driver's like sit out slam thing that I'd never seen before. There's some really good stuff in this match. This was a great one, honestly.
Guys, I will ask Alex to give some analysis on the next segment while I do my best to rectify whatever internet issues that I have. So my apologies. What we'll do, look at this. Look at this.
That's
bam.
So, and Alex, me up. What's the next segment? So I remember
it. Buddy,
to talk
about. Oh, buddy, am I giving you one that you're going to enjoy to talk about solo?
Okay.
The Nick Wayne and Mother interview. Enjoy, Alex.
This guy leaves me with the thing that I don't have anything to say about, because what was this? JR, like, I don't know. How could you do that to Darby Allin? He's your brother, for God's sake. And your mom is here. Everything you want to say to your mom. And Nick Wayne is just like, I am an angsty teenager. I hate you, mom. And I hate my dad. That's why I love Christian. I didn't catch anything that he said there. That, like, hold on. It isn't NXT. You're right, Bad Rocket. It's not NXT. I got one here. It doesn't involve NXT at all. Bang, no NXT. There you go. What the heck was this supposed to be? I expected did he reveal why he hates his mom and I missed it? Did he reveal why he hates his mom? I didn't see it. I didn't see it. This was only good for Christian coming in, putting a hand on Nick Wayne's shoulder and being like, let's go, son. And then mom slapped Nick Wayne. It's like, oh, you're abusive. That's abusive behavior. you'll be sorry you did that. Also, you should have picked up the phone all those times I called. And then they go outside, and then the mom is like this, oh no, oh God, oh no, what have I done? Oh no, oh. Yeah, that was, so they go outside and they get jumped by what I thought was Sting, just because, you know, why not? More Sting. There was more Sting, but it was Darby Allin who apparently beat up Christian enough by himself that he left him laying, and then like took Nick Wayne into the parking lot where he like broke one of Nick Wayne's teeth. Did he break a tooth? Broke a tooth. He broke more than one. It looked like, do you remember WWE when the bar was facing Moxley and was it Rollins? Anyway, Cesaro took a jumped into the turnbuckle and clocked his teeth on the top of the ring post, and it shoved his teeth into his gums. That's what it looked like happened to it looked like it happened. That happened to Nick Wayne. I was not expecting that. You guys, if I'm doing a solo episode, Lieutenant Photo asks, SRS, did you catch Kate's internet bug? I don't know. And Chisholm says that was bad acting, even for me. It's true. So we got, I'm going to save all the best stuff for if Sean ever shows back up, but I'm going to do this. MJF got interviewed. Because Jay White does cut to promo after his match with Penta, and then MJF considered interviewed, and Renee's like, why didn't you go down to the ring to, like, you know, yell at them? And MJF's like, Renee, I'm not an idiot. I'm not some stupid baby face. I'm a scumbag. Why would I walk into a 4-on-1 beatdown? You know? Okay, because it's AEW Dynamite. I don't know. Things that explode, puns. Puns about things that explode. How about that? Why not? Things that explode? Because it's Dynamite? I don't know. I was unprepared for this. I didn't realize that Sean was going to have to completely overhaul his entire internet. But I'm here. I'm ready to do it. The Acclaimed show up to interrupt MJF's interview. And he wants nothing to do with scissoring Max Caster. This is good. Spooko's here with it. Spooko's got us covered. A bomb Moxley, that's fantastic. Colt Kabuma. Adam Page, as in Adam Bomb Page. These are all great. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. I like this a lot. But basically, Max offered the Acclaimed services in a 4-on-4 match versus the Bullet Club Gold. Max heartily rejected said offerings. But the thing is, we all know, Sean, we all know eventually MJF is going to accept the Acclaimed's offerings and join them in a 4-on-4 match versus Bullet Club Gold. It's going to happen eventually. See, Sean accepts what I'm saying is the truth, and that's why he doesn't need to be here. So that's good.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, that's good. Orion Ben says blasting cap Juice Robinson. That's wonderful. Yeah, get in your sour chats and your humper chats, humperchats.com. is he back? Are we here? That looks like you.
I think.
Yeah, that's better.
How's it look? How's it look?
It looks good. A lot better now.
Listen, I got a confession to make. I moved my original PC across the room.
Uh-oh.
And the one that I'm using right now is missing something, Alex.
What's it missing?
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I will be installing that immediately after the show. I want to thank Alex for picking up the slack there. We also had the Bullet Club Gold promo after the match as well. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to eloquently break down the acting that we saw. I think that Nick Wayne's mom might get possessed like Marlena from Days of Our Lives. Is that the one next?
I'm not sure.
That's the type of thing either you look at and you go, that is ridiculous and terrible. Or you're like, that's just the kind of corny wrestling bullshit that I need type of thing, depending on what kind of a fan that you are. Mm-hmm. But the promo afterwards at Bullet Club cut, it was largely focused on Juice Robinson, who has his feud within a feud with MJF. And, you know, I know that MJF is very passionate about the angle in which was being portrayed last week, but they heavily leaned out of that this week.
Oh yeah. No, they did that. The collision, they completely pivoted. There were no quarters anymore. Now it's his own diamond ring. Well, it's actually, as he described it, pubic zycornium, which is definitely not how you say that, but I love it. I think that's really cool that he went, I got a ring too. It doesn't have to be your ring. I could punch people with my ring and I'll knock some teeth out myself.
Also, if you want to avoid pubic zycornium, use manscaped.com and the code Fightful.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah.
But yeah, they very much are leaning into the feud within a feud, which I think is interesting. And, you know, I've had a week to ask people and talk to people. And it's one of those situations where I was like, you know what? I'd like to shut up and kind of listen to people more qualified than me. And I do understand, and I sometimes agree with MJF on some of his methods in which where it's like he very much wants wrestling to be like a television show. And these are just characters. There's somebody that I really respected, though, that's like, man, Juice Robinson isn't always going to be a heel. And how can you justify ever cheering him in the future?
What I said on my review of Collision and all of the week of AEW, which I did last Sunday on Fightful Select, is I said that there were some of the same people who were justifiably, I think, upset about the Juice Robinson quarters thing, were also the same people who were openly advocating for Adam Cole to turn heel on MJF in the main event of Wembley by punching him with a roll of quarters and then dropping all the quarters all over. So you can't advocate for the hate crime in one angle and then be upset about the hate crime in another angle. I thought both things were probably bad. Probably don't do that with Adam Cole if you want to ever be able to like pick up the pieces and make him a good guy ever again. You let's just not do that ever with anybody.
Yeah. One LT photo says nitroglycerin ring of honor.
Yeah. We're doing puns now. Cause you were gone. So we're puns about things that explode.
Jesus Christ. MJF cuts an interview backstage. It is interrupted by the Acclaimed.
Yep.
Normally we would roll that into the main event, but, the Acclaimed wants, Max Caster very much wants to befriend MJF, wants to scissor MJF, says that tonight he'll win the Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal, beat him, and then he'll have to put a ring on it. I mean, this is really the most we got to hear out of Max Caster ever that wasn't him rapping is the last month.
Yeah, I think we're eventually going to get the 4-on-4. MJF and the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass versus Bullet Club Gold. It'll be a fun thing to see how MJF's skin crawls as he has to tag in Max Caster. There'll be a lot of fun stuff there, I think.
Orion Bence is nominating Renee and Tony for Best Faces Award. Speaking of, in just 2 months, we'll have the voting started on Fightful Select for the Fightful Awards, the second ever Fightful Awards, but Toni Storm not only has an angle now in which she can get over with like 90 seconds of on-screen time, but now during the commercials, Alex.
Right. Yeah.
It's the silent film element of it.
A silent film element, including this time where RJ City, playing a studio executive, offered to give her a pearl necklace and she slapped him. And then he said, "No, I meant the jewelry." And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yes.
I just did not realize that you could do that on national television, but okay.
RJ City helps out with these an awful lot too, from what I understand, which shocker. If you listen to any of his references,
he's a smart dude. Yeah.
He's very, very smart. Hikaru Shida defeated Emi Sakura. There were a couple times I thought they were not going to kick out on time. I was like, oh, and it was still very, very close.
Very good.
Emi Sakura is somebody that was featured in heavily in the early days of Dynamite and then was sort of a victim of the pandemic an awful lot. 47 years old, still out there working, still having her match. I mean, they went about 9-10 minutes tonight. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a good defense for Shida. Unfortunately, it is one of those defenses where you knew Sakura had no chance of winning,
which is
something that I wish they would rectify. Like, reintroduce us to Sakura in ways. Like, give her some wins on TV.
That part, yes. I love the vignette that they played before the match.
Yes, that was very helpful.
Like they laid out the entire history. The fact that they had wrestled 10 times and 8 times Emi Sakura beat Hikaru Shida. Yes. Like that to me, even though I know there's no way that Hikaru Shida is losing the title Emi Sakura, they introduced enough doubt because, well, it looks like Emi Sakura's got her number. And everything that Hikaru Shida knows, Emi Sakura taught her. Like they did a great job with that little vignette of expressing enough doubt in a kayfabe way to get me to watch those 2.95s and go, wait a minute, they're not going to do this crazy thing where like Hikaru Shida said, no, it's fine. I want her to have a title run. I'll get it back from her. I don't know what's going on backstage with the politicking. I know there's a lot of people who keep saying that at some point Emmy needs to have a title run, TBS title, whatever. Because she's of what she's meant to not only this company, but the entire business of women's wrestling. So, I thought this was an excellent part. I liked it a lot.
The video was very helpful. I think that's important. I thought the match was good. I don't think that she'll get a title run in AEW. But you mentioned how she had Sheeta's number. The thing with me was, right. though, everybody
Misfits,
else.
Misfits, right. It was just the Terror Eliminator match.
Yeah,
if she won this, then she got a title shot against Hikaru Shida. So that's what it was.
Within the context of the show, I'm like, okay, they at least set it up that she had Shida's number, and that's why she would get a title eliminator. Right. But the last time I saw her was on Rampage, losing to Sky Blue in 4 minutes. And before that, it was the month before, getting a title shot where she lost to Chris Statlander in 4.5 minutes. Yeah. And before that, it was her on Dynamite losing. And before that, it was her in another title match on Rampage where she lost.
Right.
And before that, it was against Taya Valkyrie and she lost. Mm-hmm. In fact, I haven't seen her win in AEW since April. So I wish, like, just on one of these shows that they have, Rampage, let her go out, have her win a match in 25 seconds with a Tiger Driver, for the love of God.
You know what's great is they have all this time and they only ever have one. They only ever have one women's match. I mean,
yes.
They could easily. There was a bunch of squashes on Collision. They could have just had Emi Sakura come out there and squash some poor local girl and be like, oh, well, this is how she gets a title eliminator match. Right out of that.
Especially with that dope-ass Tiger Driver she does. Yes. Where she just releases and the crowd goes, oh, and the person lands.
Do that. Yep.
Oh my gosh. I thought the match was very good. A lot you can tell they had a natural chemistry and a trust with each other with the pin specifically. Mm-hmm. And Shida winning right out of the gate is good.
Yeah.
I think you gotta make it you gotta show her as a defending champion really as often as you can and highlight it. But also I think you should develop contenders within contenders. I always look back and listen, I thought Bull Dempsey was not good. But I thought it was I loved how NXT back in the day did this. They had Bull Dempsey win a bunch of matches, and you're like, not good, but hey, he's winning matches. And then he went up against Baron Corbin, who was also undefeated, and Baron Corbin whooped his ass.
Yep.
And it made it look even better. I thought that went a long way.
Yeah.
We had Wardlow crush Ryan Nemeth, one powerbomb, KO.
Last ride powerbomb knockout. That was some stuff. I love that.
It was. It was great. Wardlow does not talk. Instead, Tony Schiavone says, why are you back? As if like getting a paycheck wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. But he points at his wrist tape and it says MJF. I am happy about this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. People had mentioned the wrist tape in the past, but for over a year, I've been saying, why would Wardlow not be going after MJF? The last time they met, he obliterated MJF.
Yeah. And there's an interview that he gave this week where he was like, everyone likes this guy now. Everyone's forgotten what a piece of crap this guy is. I haven't forgotten. I'm here to remind people who this guy really is. So I love this. I love that he's after MJF. But here's what I want to tie things together. I love Bullet Club Gold. the thing they're sorely lacking to be a really dominant faction is a big guy who crushes people. Wardlow hates MJF. Jay White and Bullet Club Gold hate MJF. Jay White recruiting Wardlow into the fold to use that hatred for his own advantage, even if he's just using Wardlow, and then the story can be Wardlow finds that out and wants to crush Jay White. But like, harness that and use it to help Bullet Club Gold in their thing with MJF. And Wardlow is out here crushing guys in 2 seconds. He's not getting anywhere near MJF, but he could if he was hanging around Bullet Club Gold. Like, there's a really cool thing where you could bring him in. That would be great, man.
Right now, there are so many ingredients involved with MJF. There's Adam Cole and Neck Strong doing their own thing. Yep. Samoa Joe is cutting his own promos. Max Caster and the Acclaimed are trying to get close to him. You've got Bullet Club Gold. Now you've got Wardlow. And then backstage, you had Kenny Omega. And we have almost never seen these two face-to-face in the 5 years of AEW.
Yeah.
And it's one of those matches, very clearly they are kept away from each other for a reason.
Yeah.
It seemed very much like Kenny Omega is like, yeah, we'll see if I let you keep that title reign. To me, this is a pay-per-view main event, a very clear pay-per-view main event that they should do. But this, just seeing them together on screen, you know, we saw it on BTE, but on Dynamite, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, this was really, I love that MJF comes out with the, we know we don't really actually talk to you too much, but I want you to know I respect the hell out of you. I think you're one of the greatest ever, and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then 13 days, bitch, because that's when he breaks Kenny's record. So I love the just the insertion of the possibility of a Kenny Omega versus MJF match for that title. It won't happen, I don't think, unless they do a special thing next week. It won't happen before he breaks the record. But kind of cool they just did. So you know what? Collision, because he breaks the record on a Tuesday. That's when he actually hits the record. So he can't do it. He breaks it on Halloween. So he can't actually do it on the November 1st. But if he did it on the collision before he breaks the record, why the hell not? MJF versus Kenny Omega. And the thing of it is, you can protect everybody because you know Don Callis is going to want to get involved in it. Just give us 15 to 20 minutes of MJF and Kenny Omega. Let's see what happens. And you know they'll figure out a way to like jimmy up the finish so that they're going to have something with Don Callis getting involved. Or Bullet Club Gold.
I am fascinated by this. Like, where will they place it? Like, will they try to do like a big TV rating for it? Do they have major plans for it? Mm-hmm. How will that go? And I'm just glad it's being teased. I'm just glad it's being teased. Somebody says Battle of the Belts is coming. Why not then? They ain't doing it there. They ain't doing it there. Will says, it doesn't look good when Raw has 17 women on the show and NXT has 4 women's matches. It doesn't look good. We can at least get 2. I completely agree, Will. There should be at least 2. If you want to do 1 in a squash, I'm happy with that at this point.
Yeah.
Just show me that you'll do it.
Yeah. Dynamite and Collision should have a minimum of 2 men's matches every week. It's not hard.
Yeah. Jorge Saldivar says, Kenny said, we'll see about that when MJF said 13 more days. Is there a chance they might wrestle before those 13 days? That would seem like hot-shotting it an awful lot, right?
Well, that's what I'm... we still have Collision. We still have Dynamite next week. MJF versus Kenny could happen on that next Collision. There's 2 more shows that you could have them interact with. The Collision this weekend, Dynamite next week, and then announce it on Dynamite. Collision, the main event of Collision, Kenny Omega versus MJF. Like, try and pop a number with that. Like, why not? Like, get people tuning in, be people talking about it.
Jordan Scott says, so many legit challengers for MJF's belt is epic. Yes, and it doesn't need to be an interrupting promo for an Elimination Chamber or something like that. It can just be, now this guy's up, now this guy's up, right. Now this guy's up, now this guy's up. And, like, Swerve is out there, too. Like, there's so many. He does.
Samoa Joe's been cutting these amazing promos backstage saying, I'm coming back for that belt, Max. Like, there's a lot of people out there. I'm loving it.
Alex Fitzgerald said, so many targets are eyeing MJF, Samoa Joe, Wardlow, Bullet Club Gold, Omega, Adam Cole could still turn on MJF. Who do you think wins the belt? I could see a situation where Joe wins the belt. I could see a situation where I think Adam Cole was going to. I think Adam Cole was going to win the title, but unfortunately, that's not where they're at. I think that they were crafting that as I knocked the windshield or the windscreen off my mic, that situation. However, it looks like that could be a long time.
Yeah.
Do you think, I'll ask you this, if they had planned on Cole, do you think they just hold off until Cole is ready and then have him do it?
How long are we thinking that is?
I don't know. For listen,
because I mean, if it's like 5-6 months, like that's a lot of just treading water, like
double or
you
nothing.
You know what I mean?
But is it treading water when you've got Bullet Club Gold, right. Wardlow, Joe?
To me, like listen, it's interesting to me this whole MJF thing that he's finally now back in a real, honest to God feud that doesn't feel like, you know. Hey, I'm hanging out with my friend and we're friends and we're going to have our match. But then before that, it was like the Four Pillars. Like he's having a real honest to God feud with Jay White. Okay. Let's say he gets past Jay White. Then do you do Omega? Do you go Samoa Joe again? Like how many of these, is there a law of diminishing returns where we kind of get bored of they're doing a thing on the other brand, where a lot of people believe that perhaps one man has held on to one title for a bit too long and it's getting kind of old and let's figure out somebody to take the title off them already. I think that they're inching up him breaking the record. I'm totally cool with. And then you can figure out a way, like, what is the story we're going to build to have that taken off of him? 6 months, I'll eat my words happily, but it feels like they would just find things to keep him busy as opposed to really have great things with a reason why he has to retain every time.
Tony says, Wardlow, Kenny, Joe, possibly Swerve, Hangman, and Cole upon his return. Either Max is going to go through the ringer before or after Jay, or is there going to be some kind of multi-match down the road? Do you see the Don Callis family versus UE down the road? I do see that down the road. I just figure that Jericho will find a way to make it like the Jericho Elite or something like that. That's just you know, his thing. I think it should be sort of a murderer's row of challengers. I don't think it should be all at once. I think it should be a murderer's row. Who you got next? You got next? And that's how I feel about it. We got the Don Kesha or the Don Callis, Takeshita and Hobbs promo. Don says, do you think the placements of the Last Supper paintings have any meaning? Hobbs' spot is interesting. Now, see, that is something next level that I hadn't even considered, but it is something that I bet that Callis would think of down the line.
If you look at it, the people nearer to the ends of the table, there's at least four guys there that have their faces digitally blurred, basically. And easy for Mel Coleman to go in and add a specific person if anybody were to ever get recruited. I don't know if where Hobbs is specific to that, as opposed to he was just recruited later, so he got added to the left. Is he always in Judas's spot? Okay.
I mean, Jericho should have been in Judas's spot. They should have painted it to have Jericho in Judas's spot.
They should have done
Damn. Hobbs says that he hates Jericho because when he was little, Jericho cussed at his mom and told him to shut up and sit down.
No, not his mom, his big mama, his grandma who raised
okay.
him. Like,
that's so true.
Jericho, big timing, Hobbs's grandma is the origin story of Powerhouse Hobbs. I love it.
Listen, I hope Jericho's next promo is, and I quote, "Good night, Jabroni Mark, without a life, that don't know it is a work, when you work a work and work yourself into a shoot, Mark." HH.
Yeah, HH. You gotta say HH.
He worked Hobbs into a shoot that is now a work, Alex.
Oh yeah. No, this is great. Also, it makes Hobbs do a baby face. Like he is destroying Jericho for the honor of his big mama. Like,
I love it.
You can't get more baby face than that.
I love it. I like it. It's great. Listen. I'm on Team Hobbs here. I am.
Gotta be on Team Hobbs.
I thought Kyle Fletcher did really good on the mic tonight. He came out and he wasn't trying to get himself over. He wasn't trying to make little jokes. He was out there saying, "I don't need you. You need me. That's why my friend Will Ospreay called me up and asked for a favor when he said that you were begging for his help."
Yep.
I love that. That put Kyle Fletcher in the driver's seat in that situation. And it had Callis sort of backing up and being like, "Well, if you win, maybe we can do business," trying to save face a little bit.
Yeah.
The bully tried to get in his face and point him down. And Fletcher said, "No, buddy, it don't work like that." And I thought he did great. And of course, the match was a humper. You knew Omega was going to win the whole time, but it was a humper. Yeah.
Kyle Fletcher's 24.
Yeah.
20. I want to say 24. He is doing this, what he is doing now with Omega. And then we saw with Danielson, like, and everything he's done as part of Aussie Open, at 24. I don't think that I'm out of line when I say that at some point, Kyle Fletcher will be widely regarded as the best wrestler in the world. I don't think that's too far to, because he's only 24 now. Most wrestlers don't reach their prime until they're like 30, 31, 32. Yeah. So like,
I mean, anymore, like mid 30s.
Right. Yeah. But think about how much more he can improve. He can learn from working with people like Danielson and Omega. He's only going to get better. Hanging out with Ospreay, he's only going to get better and better and better. He's already doing such amazing stuff. He's only going to improve. I am in awe of where he is at this age and just thinking about what we're going to see out of him in the next 10, 15 years.
If you look at him physically and you look at the in-ring work and then you go back and you look at Seth Rollins at 24, Kenny Omega at 24, AJ Styles at 24, Will Ospreay at 24. There are a lot of similarities there, a whole lot of similarities there. And I think that him working Omega in this match is sort of a look at the future. It's a crystal ball, so to speak.
Yeah.
Especially as he gets older, he fills out more. He's gonna streamline all that stuff. I mean, now he ain't got to worry about money. He signed to AEW for a very long time.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's going to be good. Orion Ben says, Kenny Kyle said she to Emmy and said, turned it up. I'll tell you what I like. AEW of late and Raw too are like, let's just have some slappers. Sometimes you just need some slappers.
Yeah.
And that's what I love.
Let's do that.
I also love that Danhausen. We got the infomercial. He's coming back. I'm excited for it. Halloween season too. You just know his stuff's going to sell like crazy.
Oh yeah. No, he's going to move merch. He's going to curse some fools. It's going to be great. Very, very, very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Very, very, very nice. Very evil.
Lance Archer defeated Barrett Brown. Didn't just defeat Barrett Brown. Introduced Barrett Brown. Mm-hmm. Who I want to say did incredible in his role as well. Sold his ass off, tried to fight back. Lance Archer looked incredible. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, best $54 a year in the business. Reported last week that the GIF that he posted about, "I'm not going anywhere," not related to a contract, but hey, Fortunately, he's back. And he hit the blackout, and he looked great. And listen, if you fit 2 minutes in every so often to have Lance Archer crush people, I'm here for it. Sometimes I just like to see people do their cool moves.
Yeah. I like having Lance Archer back. This is great. This, I do think they do one of these pretty much every episode of Dynamite, and one of these every episode of Collision. Can one of the two spots be for women to do a similar length match?
The that's Tiger just, that's Driver, the thing give it me. To me. Again, I would love that. Listen, have Emi Sakura beat the shit out of some 110-pound girl.
Yeah,
just sure. I would love it. I would love it. Person says, read my comment. Well, John, if you get in your super chat and humper chat, you can get your question or statement right on the air. But John, I'm reading this one for free, my friend. So now you probably feel obligated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, if you don't feel obligated to send a super chat, maybe you can get yourself some cereal. Mm-hmm. I've long told you guys how much I love MagicSpoon.com/Fightful. And now Magic Spoon has reinvented your favorite childhood cereals and your favorite childhood treats. The cereal is great, contains 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs per serving, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, 140 calories per serving in all your favorite flavors. But now they also have these great on-the-go snacks, these brand new treats. You can have totally delicious high-protein cereal bars for breakfast, dessert, and any time in between. They're just like the marshmallow treat you had as a kid, but with only 1 gram of sugar and 1 to 2 grams of net carbs, and they're packed with 11 grams of protein per bar. They also have a wonderful chocolatey peanut butter flavor as well. Head over to MagicSpoon.com/Fightful, grab a custom bundle of cereal, and try it yourself. Don't forget to try those brand new marshmallow and chocolatey peanut butter treats. Use our promo code FIGHTFUL at checkout to save $5 off your order. And if that's not enough, they are backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. You have nothing to lose by trying these delicious new treats and all the classic cereal that you love. MagicSpoon.com/Fightful and use the code FIGHTFUL to save $5. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, by the way, guys. Tom LaValle says, give me a Nyla squash instead of Lance. Listen, you can do one this week, one the next week also. Adam Copeland's rated R rebuttal to Christian Cage was disturbingly PG, Alex.
It wasn't very rated R at all. It
wasn't rated R. Like, listen.
No.
I mean, I guess you could, but he didn't say anything particularly controversial. He said, in fact, I thought he added some nice color to this. He goes, I made the plan to come to AEW so I could team with my best friend again. And he seemed all on board until it started to become a reality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's got that friend who seems on board with plans. And then the week of, they're not as responsive. The day of, they're not as responsive. Then when they show up, they hit you with a chair.
Yep.
Well, Adam Edge Copeland says, I'm not going to fight Christian Cage. I don't want his title. I don't want that. He's like, I want my friend, and I want to end my career the way I started it with the guy who I put in a good word for decades ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he largely took credit for helping get him there.
He took credit for literally everything that Christian has ever done.
There you go.
Which does not, to me, speak like this is a guy who I firmly believe is the most underrated wrestler in the history of this business. But if I hadn't done all the work for him, he'd be managing an IT firm somewhere in Ontario. Those two things, I feel like, don't quite coexist the way he thinks they do. And I think that's intentional. I think they're setting up some interesting stuff between them for that reason about that. But I did like the, I'm not going to fight him. Because either that's going to be a provable lie in a couple of months when they actually do fight each other, or that's going to be the thing that gets in the way that basically rated FTR is going to face rated FTR and Danielson is going to face Big Bill, Ricky Starks, Luchasaurus, Nick Wayne, and Christian's not going to be involved. And it's that kind of a thing of Christian's always going to not be in the thing. Or if they do have a tag match, they'll just make sure they'll never in the ring at the same time. They're going to do a lot of those things until we finally have to have, we have to have it, the one-on-one Edge versus Christian match.
Bizarro Big L says, the Omega Challenge isn't out of nowhere. Max has a checklist he put out and more. Wardlow, Eddie, Hangman, Claudio, Joe, and Swerve. And a rare BTE appearance to whisper the days a few weeks ago. All I need is Max breaking down with Danhausen asking for money. Well, yeah, obviously it's not out of nowhere, but you can't consider BTE consistent canon within the context of this show. This was the introduction to that as well.
Yes.
Statlander versus Willow for the TBS title and Cassidy against the winner of Isaiah Cassidy, John Silver, and Kip Sabian added to Battle of the Belts, in which neither of those titles will change hands, as we have learned from Battle of the Belts, Alex. But I do like that Chris Statlander is like, this person deserves a title shot.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
I think they have the best opportunity to break that streak with this Battle of the Belts. And they could fit it into a storyline as well, because Willow came out today. She's number 8 on the PWI Women's 250. Everyone loves Willow. Stat and Willow are going to have a fantastic match. Willow's doing this thing now with Sky Blue, where they both got misted by Julia Hart, who's still on her honeymoon. But they're turning more darkish. They're not the same bubbly baby faces that they were before. Like, if you did a shock title change from Statlander to Willow, it would do two things. It would further that storyline immensely. You could have an opportunity for Statlander to get her belt back at some point, but also it would end the whole not going to watch Battle of the Belts because no one's ever going to get it. There's never going to be a title change on there. If you prove us wrong the first time, all of a sudden, the next time there's a Battle of the Belts, people will be more willing to tune in, because last time they didn't tune in, there was a title change and they missed it. I mean, it's a thing they could do.
Rob Van Dam in action next week in Philadelphia with Hook. That makes an awful lot of sense to me. Yuta and Claudio versus Starks and Big Bill at Collision. That is going to be a humper. That's a good one. Yuta and Claudio in action. And Sky Blue versus Ruby Soho on Rampage as well. Continued with the neck strong segments. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole is ready to leave. He's ready to get surgery.
I am also ready to leave having to watch these.
I see why they're doing them. They take about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It gets one of their top stars on the show. So I don't blame them for doing them. Justin Rivera says, do you think there's enough time for Cole to get healthy before MJF's contract is up? If the contract is legitimately up at the end of the year, no. I do not. Irene says, if Cole's out for a long time, have either Jay or Swerve beat MJF for the title. Kenny's awesome, but he doesn't need the title again right now. I agree. If the situation calls for it, have somebody beat MJF for the title, because I don't want somebody to just beat him just because Cole's going to be out for a while. I think it needs to make sense. And the reason why you have a long reign like this is so the next person gets over to me.
Right.
That's how I feel about it.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, as we've often seen in wrestling for especially like the last 15 years, really since the Cena and Batista era launched, then so much of it has been, but is that the case? Because not really.
Kenny is a made man forever. And you could argue that, you know, basically both Jay and Swerve are, but it would be their first time holding that kind of a title in AEW. Would be a huge deal for either of them. The rub from being the guy to beat MJF would be huge for both dudes. Depending on how long, Adam Cole is out, this might be a best time to strike while they aren't as hot with Jay White, or perfectly build a Swerve taking MJF's title some maybe by Revolution or something. But there's also a thing where you could have MJF kind of like down and upset because he lost his title. And when Cole comes back, he can be the one to pick up his friend and be like, let's go get those tag titles back, which presumably they will have lost because MJF can't defend them in handicap matches forever.
Gosh, I forgot they were even still tag champions.
Yeah, they're still tag champions. Who knows what they're going to do with that? But
I completely forgot about that. That,
yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess that's an interesting aspect of it because he's got so many challengers for his other title right now.
Yeah.
Well, Roddy asks Adam Cole to make one of his famous peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And he makes, by the way, the ingredients don't look good at all for this peanut
because
butter.
Because they're just that organic jam. It's that doesn't have any
sugar
in it.
Yeah. I know. Nah. I know. Mm. Alex Fitzgerald said Cole turned heel. He can't make a PB&J sandwich. The highlight of this was how pathetic the effort of Roderick Strong was to eat the sandwich. Mm-hmm. As he looked at it very clearly with crust, it disintegrates in his hand and just rolls down.
Mm-hmm.
I unapologetically enjoyed it. Also, listen, I'm a crunchy peanut butter guy.
Oh yeah, you gotta have the chunky peanut butter.
I don't mess with smooth. So
listen, I have perfected my PB&J the way I like it: lightly toasted sourdough, chunky peanut butter, raspberry jelly. That's the way I like it.
Sourdough, huh?
Yeah, I've always been a sourdough guy, but especially with PB&J, especially if you get the bread a little warm, because all of a sudden that peanut butter starts to melt. Oh, it's so good.
Ooh, listen, at my alma mater, Morehead State University, there was a, like in the food hall, there was a sandwich place called Pow's. Mm-hmm. And you get your run of the mill, like paninis and stuff like that. And then people just kind of realized you can get peanut butter and jelly from there too. And that became like the go-to.
Oh, and a PB&J panini is really good stuff.
Listen, there are some elementary foods. A hot dog that was, listen, whatever animal that they did away with, it was meant to be a hot dog from the time they raised it. A gourmet hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Listen, I sound like Seahawk right now.
From the time that muskrat crawled out of the swamp, it knew it was going to be a hot dog.
It knew it was going to be a hot dog. Yeah. And whoever caught it knew it was going to be a hot dog.
That's right.
I really wish I could be a vegan because that makes me feel horrible. Mm-hmm. Caden says, Kenny talked to me mid-match. I am not okay. Well, Caden, my friend, you were not even beforehand.
Yeah.
But there we go. Juice Robinson wins the 2023 Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. Yeah. Jordan Scott says, honestly, let Juice take the ring. Jay take the belt at Full Gear with a Wardlow turn. No friends, no hired guns for MJF. Gets a chance when Cole is back. I would love to see MJF lose everything that he worked for. His friends, his title, his ring, and maybe even his contract. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's like, man, you were really terrible. We dealt with you because we had to type of thing. I don't know how they would play that.
I don't know how they would play it either.
I don't know how they could play that. But listen, there's a way. There's a story there. Well, there's a way you can do that.
Like, Juice winning the ring from MJF, I think, is a given. Because you want him to be at his lowest when he has to face Jay White. You don't want him to be coming off of riding high, having beaten Juice and retained his diamond ring. Also, if he doesn't have the diamond ring, that's one less thing he can go to try and beat Jay White. He's got to lose the I don't know if they're going to have him lose to Jay White, but I feel reasonably certain Juice is going to take that diamond ring from him.
So the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal, it's a run-of-the-mill Battle Royal. It's got the Hardys in there. You know, not bad. It's got Jake Hager, former world champion Jake Hager. Mm-hmm. Daniel Garcia is still very over. He needs to be highlighted more. I thought the best part of this was MJF walking down to the ring, and paying off Dustin Rhodes to do Shattered Dreams to Juice Robinson. That was so good, Alex.
I thought he was going to try and pay him off to like make sure you eliminate him, but that wasn't it. Just make sure you kick him in the balls really hard.
I love it.
I was like, that's it. Perfect.
It comes down to Max Caster and Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson does a great job selling, almost getting knocked off the apron. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Juice wins. You knew he was going to win. But I thought, you know, not often we see a Battle Royal main event a show either. And AEW loves their Battle Royals and their tournaments. Overkill, in my opinion. Yeah. But you knew what this was setting up. And Juice Robinson, or actually Jay White and MJF, brawled. Mm-hmm. At the end of the show as well.
Yep.
Any issues with Juice winning this? It made sense.
No. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. I also didn't like the other option being Max Caster. Like that's not really a story. Like I'm going to make him put the ring on my fingers. Like that's not really a story.
Yeah.
The only real option to have anybody win this was Juice. It was kind of a foregone conclusion.
Bizarro Big L says Willow and Sky Blue in an offshoot House of Black with Julia calling the shots could be interesting. Sky's lacked depth for her character. Willow going heel could add new dimensions. Looking at the division, the women need new baby faces stat. Yeah, I think Julia will be back sooner than later, too. She was only supposed to be out for a few weeks.
Yeah, I love the idea of Willow doing the Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family thing.
Yeah.
Where like she's fighting against it. They won't accept.
She
baby faceness is in her blood. She can't go fully to the dark side. There could be something fun there.
So we saved easily the most newsworthy thing for the last segment.
Yes.
Sting came out and he said that he knows he has retired before, but the 2015 retirement did not sit well with him or the retirement that he had. And he said that in that speech, he said the only thing for sure about Sting is that nothing's for sure.
Yep.
He put over a lot of people, some of which the crowd did not enjoy, especially Hulk Hogan. The crowd booed him heavily. They wooed Ric Flair heavily.
Yeah.
Talked about Dusty Rhodes as well. And Sting talked about retirement, the long rumored retirement. And Tony Khan has outright said Sting will retire when he wants to retire.
Right.
Tony said, as long as he can do stuff, we'll work around it. Sting said, AEW Revolution was my first AEW match. And AEW Revolution 2024 is going to be my last match. And he said, the only thing for sure about Sting is that my retirement at AEW Revolution is for sure. Mm-hmm. He will be 65 that month.
Yeah. Two weeks after that, after Revolution, he'll turn 65.
He has wrestled since November of 85.
That's crazy.
Also puts in perspective a lot about Dustin Rhodes, who has wrestled. He started wrestling less than 3 years after and is 10 years younger. There's going to be a lot of people saying, who's the match going to be? Mm-hmm. Who's this? Who's that? Man, this one hits me in my feels, Alex. Now, granted, there was a 4.5 year period where it seemed abundantly clear that Sting was never coming back. In fact,
it
was pretty well the first 4 years of Fightful, almost. We existed in a non-Sting world. So it's not like I've never been a wrestling fan without Sting or never covered wrestling without Sting. But man, getting Sting back was a surprise anyway. I'm like, well, what's he going to do here? Some cinematic stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
Then he started to wrestle. And I remember that's what made me go to an AEW pay-per-view right as we were emerging from the pandemic. I was like, I've never seen Sting wrestle. I have to see him wrestle.
Yeah.
This one's hitting me hard, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to me that, like, you know, that when I started watching wrestling. That was when the Crow Sting was in the rafters.
Yeah.
Like, and he was the coolest thing in the world. Like, just the way the aura about Crow Sting was amazing to me. And then I went back years later and watched all of his Surfer Sting stuff, and I could not believe it was the same dude. And there's just always been a mystique around Sting. And it's crazy to me that he decided in this last run to reinvent himself as a crazy daredevil who jumps off of tall things. But yeah, I think that I don't know. There's the Darby has said he will never wrestle against Sting. A lot of people are saying it's got to be Sting versus Darby. I think it might be Sting and Darby tagging against. And the question is there, who would that be? Who would they tag against?
I would love if it were Edge and Christian by that time. I think that would be
great.
I think that'd be very cool. Yeah. Will Chisholm, by the way, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We're heading down the home stretch here. Will Chisholm says, I think the show was good. Sting hit me hard, but the wrestlers, please don't name drop Hulk Hogan. His reaction was funny though. I wish that, he was like, you know, the thing I learned from Hulk Hogan is make sure you don't have Nick Patrick ref your matches.
Right.
Yeah. But somebody says, isn't Darby hiking Mount Everest? Listen, Sting's retirement is more important than Mount Everest.
Mount Everest, apparently. I did some research on this because I wanted to know when Darby would be off TV. April through June is peak. So he could do the Revolution match at the beginning of March and immediately.
He told me he would likely miss Double or Nothing.
Yeah. So there you go.
Zach Barber says 100% Sting is challenging for and winning the TNT title at Full Gear and getting one last title run. That's TK's gift. So TK is giving him a gift next week. Huh, man. I wouldn't mind that, but also Sting has said that he doesn't want titles. He doesn't want title shots because otherwise he and Darby would have deserved and earned a tag title shot. They're undefeated. Sting's not lost in AEW, has he?
Maybe as part of like a giant, like 8-man tag or something. I have no idea.
Like an all-star. But
if he has, it must have been in some giant multi-man thing. That's only
as I'm possible. Looking, man, I don't think Sting's lost at all in AEW, period. Like at all. Not only that, he didn't lose at Noah when he was there either.
No.
Man, I'm going to be emotional about this. I think that it's probably going to be a show that I try to attend. I'm praying it's in North Carolina. Like, listen, I know it ain't going to be around me. But North Carolina seems right. You know, the WCW connection.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they would go right back to California.
Not after Full Gear. No.
We're talking about the company that runs Chicago every 2.5 weeks.
I mean, they do Wrestle Dream in Seattle, Full Gear in LA. They're not going back to the West Coast three times in a row for the pay-per-views.
Charlotte would be great. Please bring it to Charlotte so I can get that Lexington direct flight, please. That'd be nice. I can fly in that afternoon, fly out the next morning. Yeah. Please and thank you. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
They can find me on the Twitter / the X at Alex Sour Grabs on Fightful Select, reviewing Raw every Monday, doing a watch along for Rampage while reviewing SmackDown. On Fridays, most Saturdays we'll be reviewing Collision, probably this one as well. Also, if you're all interested in me and Kate reviewing movies, this weekend is the craziest thing. I bet we're reviewing a movie called Frankenhooker, and it is everything you would say, assume the title would be, and then some. It's one of the craziest movies I've ever seen. It's on Tubi. You can watch it for free.
Oh, boy.
Please watch me and Kate review this ridiculous thing at noon Eastern on Friday on the Know Your News channel. Thank you.
Vicky, Luis will find your chat immediately, and we will make sure that it gets read. Patrick says, what kind of makeup for Sting's retirement? I would love, actually, I did find yours, Vicky.
There you go.
I think it might be a hybrid, like Crow with some color in it.
That would be really cool.
I think we could absolutely see that. Vicky says, hi, SRS and Alex. Say it ain't so. Going to start my mourning period now. I'm heartbroken. I knew it was coming, but I don't have to like it. Sting rules forever. SRS, you deserve an interview. Oh, buddy, I am going to pull every string that I possibly can to get a Sting interview before then. That is one of my my big ones that I want to get. I did meet Sting. He did a sort of off-camera run-in on my Eric Bischoff interview. I've interviewed NWO Sting, and that was actually a really good interview. But Vicky, I know you're a big Sting fan, so I'm my heart's with you, but I'm feeling it too, my friend. Tom says, for Sting's last match, sell out the Georgia Dome. Well, I would imagine they've got it booked. Wherever they've already got it booked, because it's
they know what they're doing at. But if they do that in WCW country, whatever they're running is going to sell out for Sting's last match.
Meet Norma says, hi, buddies. I checked with Step Host. She got the reference. I don't get the reference.
That's the pearl necklace one.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Did Denise get
the reference for pearl necklace? Because she doesn't usually. You got it.
She doesn't usually. She did not understand what me saying that Ari Emanuel bang-bussing Vince McMahon meant. She did not. Guys, FightfulSelect.com. Today I had news on Serena Deeb being backstage at AEW. There's some conflicting word within the company about why she missed. We've got Ibuki Hoshi notes as well. I did a background tour of this out back here, so you can check that out. We had select portions, news on Tasha Steele's AEW pay-per-views. Yesterday, we had details on how things have changed with WWE over the last 3 weeks. We had Raw producers, Raw plans as well. News on the Grizzled Young Vets, Billy Corgan, NWA, their TV deal, all that good stuff. And that's in addition to all the stuff we had last week. The big updates on CM Punk, the big updates or lack thereof of Velveteen Dream, Ray Phoenix's visa issues. We spoke to CJ Perry, backstage reaction to Tony Khan and his tweets, Randy Orton updates, AEW Fight Forever updates, so much stuff. FightfulSelect.com. And in addition to that, a bunch of podcasts as well. Thank you all so much. We're out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.